Nahum chapter number 1, just a couple books over from the book of Jonah, Jonah, Micah, then this little book of Nahum, just three chapters here. Not a book that's looked at a whole lot, not a book that's preached from much. I don't know that in all my days, I don't know that I've ever preached from the book of Nahum. I may have. If I have, I can't remember it. We'll put it that way. But I had this portion of a verse on my heart for several days and really had no idea of what the Lord was wanting until this morning He began to speak to my heart about this verse. And I probably won't be very long. I don't feel like I have a whole lot, but I want to try my best to give you what the Lord has burdened my heart with and pray that He'll help us to be a blessing to you this morning. Nahum chapter 1, when you found your place, if you're able, willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Nahum chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at Him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at His presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. There's a whole lot in these seven verses that I read to you this morning. Way more than I'll be able to give to you this morning. This book of Nahum in context, we find out in verse number 1 that it's concerning this city of Nineveh. We become acquainted with this city in the book of Jonah. We understand about its inhabitants, reading there about their wickedness, and God commands Jonah to go and preach to them because His anger at their iniquity had come up and He was going to destroy the city. Of course, we know the story of Jonah, how that Jonah flees. The Lord prepares a storm. The Lord prepared a fish. Jonah repents, goes to Nineveh as God commands the second time. And the Bible said that they repent in sackcloth and ashes, and God turns His anger away. We read that there are in Jonah's day at least 120,000 people in the land of Nineveh. If you study Bible times, and I'm trying to get where I'm going, just bear with me. If you study in the Bible times, you'll find that the nation of the children of Assyria had one of their great thrones and kingdoms and establishments in the land of Nineveh. And they were an enemy of the people of God continually. And it takes, if the math of men is right, and I understand they're fallible, and it really doesn't make any difference, but the application's here, and so I want to make it. It took, if the math of men is right, from Jonah preaching and the people seeing their sin and repenting in the eyes of God, about 150 years between Jonah and Nahum, and they're worse now than they were in Jonah's day. It just took about two generations passing off the scene to forget about God and the instructions of God and the judgment of God, and for a people to find themselves in a worse place than they were before. I'm going to tell you, in our day today, it's been proven over and over and over again in the history of man that a nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. That's what the Bible said. Even in the nation of Israel, the Bible said in Judges chapter 2 that all that generation of Joshua and Caleb that were delivered out of Egypt, out of the wilderness, brought through the Red Sea, across Jordan, and into Canaan, and knew the acts of God, they all died, and there arose a new generation that knew not the Lord, neither the mighty acts that He had done. And so we read in the book of Judges of the judgments of God upon a people that used to know Him, that had forgot God, and God judged them for their wickedness. We're living today in a nation, and I'm not trying to get off on current events, but I feel the need to say something this morning, that we're living in a nation that was built and founded upon the principles of the Word of God, that they came here. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you that they came for wealth and power or to make a name for themselves, but those that came in sincerity came to escape religious oppression and to come to a land where they could worship God in spirit and in truth. And everything from the conception of this nation was founded upon the principles of the Word of God and worshiping Him. And we have come a long way in the wrong direction, and now we're living in days, I fear, of judgment on the land of America because that we have forgotten God. And it looks like the hard days are coming on us. It looks like dark days are here. It looks like, and I feel like just about every time that I've stood in the last few weeks, that it's been about this theme. And I don't know why, but I feel in my heart this morning that God is wanting to encourage and help His people in these dark days. We don't deserve it, but I'm glad that He loves us and cares about His people this morning. And even though these hard days are coming, and they are upon us, we've not seen the worst of it yet. It's going to get worse and worse in these days. But I'm glad in the midst of it all, I'm glad God knows His people, and He loves and cares for us, and we'll make a way when it seems there is no way in the darkness of the midnight air. I'm glad that we as the people of God can have light in the darkness. And it said, I read into your hearing this morning these seven verses, but I'm interested in verse number 3. Just a portion of the verse that God has spoken to my heart, and I've heard it quoted many times in my life and in my childhood, and never really studied on it or never really felt a compelling from the Holy Spirit to preach on it, but I feel like I have it this morning to preach to your hearts from heaven. And that is the fact that Nahum said, in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of the judgment, that's what he's pronouncing, judgment upon the people because of their iniquity, judgment
upon the enemies of God, a judgment upon them in their day, a chaos, confusion, and that's where we are today, living in the midst of chaos and confusion. But Nahum said, remember this, that even though the whirlwind's coming, this tempest, this storm, that the Lord still has His way in the whirlwind. That word way means a predetermined course. It means a purpose. It means a plan. It means a path. God, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of confusion and chaos, I'm glad God still has a path for His people. I'm glad He still has a predetermined place that He wants for us to get to. I'm glad God is still God in the whirlwind. In those times in our life, and it was mentioned in the Sunday school hour this morning, I thought, while Brother Tim was preaching about the potter and the clay, about how there are times that we're set out in the field, and we don't understand why we're there. When the rain blows in, I thought, while he was talking this morning about being shielded from the sun, and about how the rain pours in, and I studied a little bit about it, not as much probably as he has, but I studied about sheep probably more than I have about potter, and I learned and understood that his sheep don't have a shelter, that when bad weather comes, they huddle together and they face the storm. And when the rain beats in, they lower their head. And there are days in our lives as the people of God, when the storm comes, we've huddled together and tried to stay where we know we ought to be. And our head's been dropped, feeling like God's forsaken or that God's abandoned. But I'm glad in the midst of it all, that God's still God, and He still has a plan. Don't worry, child of God. He sees where you are. He knows what you're going through. And what's coming in your life is making provision for the purpose of God to be brought forth in you. Those times when the piece of potter is put in the heat of the fire, and the pot, the clay probably wonders. A lot of times we talk about, and I know that the potter's the type of the Lord, and we think about Him as a person because of the type is a person, but the clay's the type of us. So if that's true, then the clay, even though the clay itself, in its literal sense, it don't have feelings. It's not a person, it's a thing. But you and I, as the clay, we have feelings. We have thoughts. We have doubts. We have fears. And do you ever fear and doubt or think, why am I here? Why is the fire so hot? Why am I in this shape again? Why has He set me in the field? Why is the wind blowing so hard? Why so much rain? Why so much trouble? Just lift up your head, child of God. He has His way, even in the strongest storm that ever comes in your life. He has a way. He has a plan. He has a purpose. I'm telling you this morning, I feel pretty good in my heart. I really didn't know how the service was going to go this morning. I felt so little on the inside, and it's not of me anyway. But some of you understand what I'm saying. I thought, Lord, I ain't got nothing. We're going to be there 5 minutes and go home. But I'm telling you this morning, God knows where you are, and He has a plan for you even in the storm. In those days that we feel like giving up, in those days that we feel like throwing in the towel, in those days that we feel like nobody else before us has ever been through what we're going through, can I remind you this morning that not only have others, because the Bible said there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And the next verse said, but the Lord is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way that you can escape, that you might be able to bear it. And I'm telling you, not just others, but the Bible said we have a great high priest who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So not only have others, but our Lord has been through what you're going through. And He's a very present help in trouble. He can take your situation, your trouble. I'm just trying to preach to you this morning the way it's on my heart. He can take whatever you're going through. It seems like to me, or the way that the Holy Ghost has worked in my heart, that Nahum chapter 1 and verse number 3 ought to be underlined by the believer as much as Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Because to me it's the Old Testament equivalent that all things work together for good to them that love God. That even though you're in a storm, God knows where you are. Even though the chaos of the whirlwind has overtaken you, God knows where you are. And He has a purpose and a plan for you even in the storm. You say, I don't know about that, preacher. I'm going to confess and be honest to you this morning. If I could not, by the help of the Lord and the persuasion of the Holy Ghost, stand this morning and tell you that God had a purpose in everything, I'd be tempted to close this Bible, get in my car, go to the house, and probably never come back. Because there's something in me has to know that God, even in the bad times, there's a reason, there's a purpose. The writer said He's God of the valley, just like He's God of the mountain. Sometimes we get tempted in our own self. There's some enemies of God and the people of God one day. They went to war against the children of Israel and they got whooped and they went back home and this is what they conspired and this is what they figured out. They said, we figured out their God is the God of the mountains. And if we fight them in the valley, we'll win there because He's just God on the mountains and He ain't God in the valley. You say that's foolish, and we think the same thing sometimes. That God's only God when things are going good. God's only God when the blood pressure's down. God's only God when there's plenty of money in the bank. God's only God when everything's going well. When the family unit's together. When nobody's missing. When there's no problems in our life. But I'm going to tell you, just as them enemies found out, they went back to fight them in the valley. And God said, I'm going to give you victory. That they may know that I'm not just God of the mountain, but I'm also God of the valley. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, child of God. You may not be on the mountain. It may have been a long time since you've been there. But I got good news from heaven. He's not just God of the mountain. He's God of the valley. Just as much in the valley as He is on the highest mountain, He's God. And not only is He God in the valley, but He's God of the valley. Which means He created the valley just like He did the mountain. You say, well, I don't like the valleys. Well, I don't either sometimes. It was confessed this morning in Sunday school, and I'll confess too. I don't like to suffer. I like for things to go right. But I'm glad this morning to know that when things ain't going right, that there's a purpose and a plan somewhere buried in it by God, and it'll come out to my benefit and to yours. There have been plenty of people. I'm just going to preach this morning, okay? I don't know if I'll say what I thought I'd say. I'm just going to follow the Lord. But there have been plenty of people down through the Scriptures have faced situations and troubles that it looked like it was over for them. It looked like God had lost control. You say, I wouldn't say that. Well, deep down on the inside, if you've lived for any length of time and been through any kind of storms, there have been days in your life you wondered too whether or not God was in control at this moment. I'm not saying you still don't believe He's God. I'm not saying you still don't believe He's in control. But it seems like at that particular moment in your life that somehow He had lost control of your situation. You say, I ain't never felt that way. Well, now I'm not being mean this morning or arrogant or anything like that, and I'm not. But I'm going to tell you what, if you never felt that way, pray for the rest of us, because the rest of us have felt that way. You say, I wouldn't say that. Well, the disciples, if it could happen to them while they was walking hand in hand, physically with Him, on board the boat with Him, they went to Him and woke Him and said, Master, don't you care that we pass? You lost control. It's not happening like you said it would. But I'm glad this morning to know that even when it seems like He don't have control, He's in control. There have been days in my life that it looked like all hope was taken. It looked like God had lost control. It looked like I'd never be the same again. Have you ever felt that way? Go through something you think, Lord, I'll never be the same again. And in our heart, we're meaning it negatively. That something's going to be taken from us and we'll never recover. But on the other side of the storm, God's looking and He's saying, you're right. You'll never be the same again. But you'll come out in the end better than you will in. Job said He knows the way that I'll take. And when He had tried me, when all this storm's over, when the whirlwind's gone, He said, I'll come forth like gold. I don't know. I don't know if it's doing anything for your heart this morning, but it's a meaning something in mine. And I know that there are days that I've questioned God to my shame. I'm not preaching bragging, I'm preaching to my shame. And thought, Lord, I'll never make it through this. Lord, I'll never be the same. And thank God I can testify, I'm not the same as I was before. Not anything good in me, but all in Him. I'm better in the end than I was in the beginning. God has His way in the whirlwind. In that chaos, that whirlwind is what we would call a hurricane or a tornado. It's a monstrous wind that there is no power over. But Nahum said, just hang on. When you don't have any power over your situation, when you don't have any control, he said, may I remind you, there's a God sitting on the throne in heaven, and the whirlwind is not just doing what it wants to do, but the whirlwind is accomplishing the purpose of God. He's the one that created it. He's the one that told it to blow. He can be the one to tell it to stop and to do away with it. It does my heart good this morning, no matter what may go on in Washington, and no matter what may go on in our communities, they may call us tomorrow and say we have to shut the church doors and not gather again. And I don't go in that. I don't want that to happen. But there's something in my heart that knows that despite what all man may do, God's still in control. And He'll have His way. You look around, and I'm not saying this morning, you need to understand me well. I'm not saying that God's agreeing with everything that's going on. But I'm going to tell you this. God knew about it before it ever come. God knew what the votes would be before the election ever was thought of. God knew what the outcome would be. It matters not what we think about it. God knew what it would be. God knew how the balance of power would shift. God knew all the circumstances that will arise after that day. And I'm telling you this morning, God will not, has not, never will forget His people even in the worst of days. But He'll have His way. Don't worry, child. I don't know if you're getting anything out of it this morning. If you don't get anything, I want you to get this. And I'm about done this morning. You get this. Don't worry. God will have His way. One way or another, God will have His way. It may look like it'll never happen. We may deem it impossible. We may give up hope. We may lose all hope. We may feel like the Apostle Paul in Acts 27, when Luke recorded the words that all hope, that we should be saved was then taken away. We may feel like that before the end comes. And there's something inside me. I'm not a prophet. And I'm not trying to tell you things that ain't in the book. But there's something inside me tells me that we're probably going to get to that point before the Lord comes. We're going to be begging and pleading like John saying, surely come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, on the worst days, when we want to get out of here worse than we ever have, there's a comfort and a joy in my heart to know God's having His way. Amen. So when you go home today and you turn on that black box in the living room and it ain't nothing but doom and gloom, I pray in your heart the Holy Spirit says, don't worry. God will have His way. When you get in the car to go to work in the morning and you turn on the radio and it's doom and gloom, I pray the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, don't worry, God will have His way. When all your life falls apart, I pray it don't. But we all live in the flesh. A man that's born a woman's a few days and then full of trouble. And when trouble comes to your house, I know it'll be hard. I know the trials will be there. But I pray there's an inner peace. And a voice speaks to your heart and says, don't worry, God is having His way.
Amen. Here in Nahum chapter 1, verse 3 that we read, it does not say, I want you to notice this, in verse number 3, it does not say the Lord will have. It says the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind. It's not that we're sitting there wondering whether they will or not. It's the fact that deep on the inside, by the persuasion of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we're persuaded that He will have His way. He does have His way. He is at this moment, whether all the pieces look like they fit or not, God at this moment on November of the 22nd, 2020, when people are worried about what they're going to do on Thursday, and some are not getting together for fear, I promise you somehow in the midst of it all, God is having His way. And until the last moment of the last second of the last minute on the clock, until time is over, God is having His way. And then when time is over, and time is declared to be no more, and you and I get changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and this mortality puts on immortality, and this corruption puts on incorruption. That's what Brother Tim was teaching about this morning. I believe there's an application there about the potter, and about the pottery. There'll be a day when that glaze is put on that final coat, and because of that, you'll not see the clay anymore. You and I, even though God's working on us, and I'm glad He is, you still see the clay. But I'm glad there's a day the clay will be no more. But all that is seen is the beauty and the glory. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But I'm glad we shall be like Him.
Amen.
And while the ages roll, as the writer said in Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And I'm going to tell you, when 10,000 years passes, God is still having His way. And when a million years roll by, God's still having His way. And throughout, we can't understand. It does not compute. We cannot comprehend eternity. But can I say, throughout all eternity, eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future, God is having His way. I'm glad to know God is having His way. And can I back up right here just a minute and say, and I believe I'm done as far as I know, but when that final coat gets put on and we get a body like unto the Son of God, and that old rite of the song, I like it. It rings in my heart sometimes. It said, this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. I'm glad there's coming a day that all this stuff we'll leave behind. Let's see what God's going to say. I ain't never thought about this before till just now, and it's a bubbling up in my soul. What God's saying in the end, when He pronounces that time is no more, and He wipes all the tears away. No more sorrow, no more death, neither crying, neither any more pain. God's saying, I don't need the whirlwind to have my way. I can just have my way because I'm God. And there'll never be a whirlwind again. No more trouble, no more sin, no more sorrow. But I'm glad to report to you that even without the whirlwind, in eternity to come, God will have His way. And we can sing that song, and I don't understand it, and I'm not poking at anybody or pointing anybody out or making fun of anybody. Please don't misunderstand me. I understand a little bit about it, because when I turned 30, things started hurting that they never had hurt before. But I know some of you are older than I, and you know more about it than I do. But I remember in the early days of my ministry, the first church I ever pastored, there's a dear old singing man in that church, and he's an old man when I went there. And
couldn't see good, had to be led around, couldn't hardly walk. I had to help him up in the choir. And he didn't say much, but when he said something, it's good. And about every time they'd stand in the choir and sing, "Never grow old, where we'll never grow old," there's something lit up in the dim eyes of that old man, because he knew about a land where we'd never grow old. And I'm telling you this morning, we'll never grow old. We'll never have any heartache. We'll never have any pain. We'll never have any trouble. Won't have no flesh. Won't have no sin. Won't have no Satan. I'm telling you about a blessed land. You could preach just about as much about what won't be in heaven as what will be there. And it becomes a blessing, the child of God. I'm glad God's having His way now and forever will have His way. And ain't it amazing? I don't know if any of you have put the pieces together yet. If I'm to confess, I hadn't put none of them together till the Lord put it in my heart just now, and the pieces come together. When Brother Tim was teaching this morning, he was talking about that song that said, "Thou art the potter, I am the clay." You want to know what what the chorus says? "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way." I'm glad this morning He's having His way. We might as well resign to Him. His way's the best way. And one way or another, He will have His way. But it'd be in your mind's best interest just to get on board with His way. Because the writer said, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. Mold me and make me into thy will. Have thine own way." I'm glad He's got His way this morning. While I'm yielded, peaceful and still. Are you yielded this morning? In the troubles of your life, will you yield to Him? Will you take confidence and courage this morning, child of God, to know that no matter how hard the winds are blowing, no matter how much it's a rocking the boat of your vessel, there's a whole lot of people we could talk about that I don't feel led to, but I'm telling you, we're not the first ones to come to conclusion. By the help of God, He's having His way. Even in trouble. Even in the lonely hours. Even in them days we don't understand. And the nights you cry yourself to sleep. I said I was done. I'm trying to quit. And the nights you cry yourself to sleep. And the days you pray and feel like nobody's listening. And you feel like heaven's not hearing. He's hearing and He's having His way in your heart. And can I remind you, you say, "Well, if God's having His way, I don't understand. I can't figure it out." It's not for us to understand. It's not for us to figure out. I'm not saying there won't be questions, and I'm not going to preach to you that it's wrong for you to question and ask God why. But you cannot demand for God to give you answers. That's where the sin lies. It may not be for you to know, because the Lord said His ways are higher than our ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, even so much higher are His ways than our ways. And I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of ways in my life. A lot of plans, a lot of things I thought I could make happen, a lot of things I thought I could accomplish, and I didn't have my way. But I'm going to promise you, if the Lord ever purposes to have His way in anything, He'll always, always, always have His way. Nothing will stop Him. He'll have His way. And that ought to encourage our heart. As the people of God to know, trouble may come and probably will. Storms will come. Heartaches will come. But God will have His way. Just hold on a little longer. Let Him have His way. Help that you need's on the way. And God will have His way. And He'll get the glory out of it. As we stand all over the house, I'm done this morning. I don't know what trouble you may be in. I don't know what the circumstances and the situations of your life may be. But I am